Welcome into another edition of Locked On Bills. I'm your host, Kevin Misery, here with co-host Jason Shannon for our double edition Wednesday shows, breaking into free agency, the start of free agency an hour ago, actually, here as we record this. Thanks for tuning into the Locked On show. We're going to discuss a lot of different topics today, mainly around the free agency period, what the Bills have done to date, who they potentially lost out on, what current players on their roster in 2017 did they not resign, as well as some big moves that they have made in the last 48 hours. A little bit unexpected in that front, so we're going to go over some of that stuff. How are you doing today, Jason?
Kevin, I am doing well. This is such an exciting part of the year. We were just talking about how slow February is compared to the rest of the months of the NFL football calendar. And as the start of the NFL year, it's really, you know, all speed go. Just go ahead. We're signing guys. Draft's coming right after. I'm pretty excited to talk about this.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, as you head into March, it's always March and April are always the funnest times of the year. As free agency slows down, draft starts to pick up. Really good time to get reactions. And sometimes when we're recording, well, a lot of the times we get breaking news. So we'll see if anything anything happens while we're on here. But in the meantime, Bills did make a couple of moves. You know, we'll quickly run down and kind of what we think is going to happen beyond these moves. You know, that's kind of part of our job, as well as Jason and Nate will get on a show to talk vet quarterback options that are remaining and potential around the league, what we could do at the quarterback position. So we're going to save that, you know, for the next show. But right now we're going to talk about what the Bills have done and how we like it and what they could do. So starting at the top, they did, obviously, you know, we were live when they traded Tyrod Taylor, so that happened. They then traded Cordy Glenn with pick 22 and a fifth and sixth swap to go up to get 12. So now they have a sixth. So now they have one fifth, one sixth, and picked 12, you know, trading away 21 with that. So, you know, that was kind of a good trade. It was a value of the 50th overall pick almost exactly. We'll start there, Jason. What did you think about getting up and getting closer to the top there?
Yeah, so it's interesting on a couple levels. We have Cordy Glenn, who I think if we had made this trade without totally expecting that this was going to happen, I might think about it a little more. But the fact is that this is a guy who, although being, you know, at times at his best, a top 10 tackle in the league, a left tackle, we were pretty much done with him and we were trying to get off his money. And we found a suitor. We found the ability to get up to 12 and give ourselves even a better chance to go and trade up into the top three or top five, which we're going to have to do to get a quarterback. Because at this point now, all the chips are on the table. That's what we're going to do. We're going to trade up. There's really not a lot of reason to make a splash like that, to move up nine spots to go draft a linebacker or go, you know, draft a running back or a defensive end or anything else. This is about getting closer to go get a quarterback. I think they've probably had talks with teams like the Giants and the Colts at this point. And sure, even if you give them a handful of picks, a bunch of picks, the Colts might be looking at it like, well, we're at three. We really like Bradley Chubb, or we really like Quentin Nelson. We're not trading back to 21. I don't care how many picks you give us. You know, we like a guy that would like to fall. And I think it gives you a better opportunity to trade up when you're a little bit closer. I'm not ruling out that this is still going to have to be a huge trade with, you know, multiple picks, multiple firsts, maybe next year's, maybe this year's, maybe all three of them at this time. I think people still are going off the draft formula, the draft chart, to see how far we're going to move up. But when you have quarterbacks involved and you have those high picks involved, things can get crazy and things can get in a bidding war. But I think all things said, moving up to 12 is a good move there. And if it, you know, frees us up some money, definitely long-term down the road, which they were trying to do anyways, I think this is a good move.
Sure. And getting into that a little bit, and it's pretty much on the record that the Bills have been talking to Indy, New York, Giants and Cleveland, 2, 3, and 4 there. Don't know if they're talking, obviously Jets 6, so that wouldn't make any sense. But obviously, I don't know if they're talking to 5 Denver at all, but I think they need to get a little higher. So 2, 3, and 4. What's interesting is that the 12th overall pick is worth 1,200 points. And Brandon Bean has said that, you know, Jimmy Johnson's chart is still more used than some of these newer ones, or some of these ones that value the second round picks more than they used to, et cetera. Where, like, you know, the first overall pick is really shrunk, but, you know, 44th overall pick goes up, but they're a little bit more even. So I think that people still value those top four picks the most. It's really the top three picks the most as the fourth pick starts to become a little bit more attainable based on a trade value chart. But 1,200 points is what the 12th overall pick is worth. And then 22 is what the Bills have at 780. So, I mean, you're talking about almost 2,000 points, Jason. I mean, that's more than Cleveland's pick already without needing to give up anything additional. So it's almost like you traded Cordy Glenn and only needing to give up those two first picks to at least get four. I mean, you're close to three. You're really only including something minor to get to three. Do you think it was the Bills' idea to take 12? Cincinnati would prefer the trade back because Cincinnati was sitting on pick 46, which is worth 440 points, about what the Bills received. Whose idea was it to get the trade up over the second, you think?
I think it was probably both of their ideas. I think that the Bills knew that having the 12th pick is just so much more valuable than having 21. For the reason I had mentioned before, I think some of those teams, especially teams that were bad last year, are like a little reticent to move out that far where suddenly you've had a terrible season, but you're not going to get a top 10 talent out of it. So I do think that it's a little bit more of a swallowable trade for that. I also think that Cincinnati on their part, at 12, everybody was mocking them to have a tackle, and I think they take a tackle there. And I think they looked at the draft this year, and some people think Connor Williams is good, some people think Mike McGlinchey is good, but I think this is one of the few that there isn't like a knock it out of the park offensive tackle in this class. And I think they thought, well, we can go get a guy who's probably already a top 10, top 15 tackle, move back a little bit, maybe take one of those guys, you know, on the other side, or, you know, address another position that might have a deeper value in this draft where, you know, they can go back to a deeper position like a running back or cornerback and use it on that instead of, you know, why not just already get your guy so you don't have to take a chance on overdrafting. And I think it probably would have been overdrafting had they taken a tackle at 12. So I think it was a trade that worked out for both teams pretty well as far as that goes.
Yeah, I do. And I think Cincinnati would prefer to keep the picks than give us 46. Then the Bills would have had 46, 53, 56. So it's a trade that they already got up, and now they're in striking distance to come up pretty easily once again to make that deal to get to four definitely. Do they even go higher than three? Do the Bills not even give up a second first? I don't know. It could go many ways with the assets that they have. You know, with 12 and, you know, future picks and multiple seconds, you know, what really transpires here, because how high do they need to go?
Yeah.
And who's just, you know, there's been reports of they want to get up to get Josh Allen. A lot of, you know, Bills Nation doesn't like that. Nope. You know, not at all. So, you know, are we just smoke screening there? It's a little bit too, we're a month ahead of time to not even having a top 10 pick to be saying that's a little weird. So to me, it's smokescreen. I don't think you can be saying who you want, even if you did at that point. I think they're after Rosen personally. That was more legitimate reports as they spent a lot more time with him in the process. So I think
yeah. To me,
Rosen, and I think that they're going to get up as high as they can. Cleveland kind of holds all the cards here. So really intriguing to see how this goes. I think they'll make a trade up in the next week or two personally. I do think that they'll pull a Philly and get up there. Rather than play it out, and
I'd rather do that for sure. Because
it's cheaper.
I think it's cheaper. I think you kind of get out of the bidding war. I think if they were comfortable to be at two or three, you'd like to know who goes ahead. But if you liked two quarterbacks, you could feel pretty safe about going up to that spot and getting it. And it is cheaper. You don't have to bid with other teams on draft day. And it also keeps me from pulling my hair out and not knowing what's going on in the draft. But I do think that 12 trade up was essentially to make, I think it puts all the control in their hands as far as they can do whatever they want. They can basically go and get whatever pick two and on that they feel like getting, maybe even number one. Now it would cost a fortune in some situations, but I think they're saying worst comes to worst, we give up an extra pick or something, but we are going to get our guy. And I think that was very important to them. And I think that was a lot less certain when they had 21 and 22.
Right. No, I agree. So lots of cards to fall. I think, you know, you can make a trade really affordably right now. A little bit more. You don't have to include David Putney when you're making this deal on draft day and you're sitting there and you're like, I still want David Putney. I mean, you can keep David Putney on your roster now by not needing to come up. And there's some truth to that stupid draft day movie that I do believe that you can get a better deal right now when teams are thinking about free agency or they're thinking about the whole draft board and not in the emotions of it and someone bad just went and they're all happy and now the pick's worth more money. And, you know, there's a lot that could play into that. Trading up now, a lot better. Teams' draft boards aren't finalized. They think they can get better value. I think it's a better move to kind of shore that up in the next week or two personally.
But I think that would be an interesting thing too. If they were to say, go and do that tomorrow and they go and make a deal with the Giants or Indy or something, I think that really rules out. So for instance, like the Jets signed two quarterbacks, Arizona signed two quarterbacks. They still are teams that people think maybe they'll still draft a quarterback. Maybe they're still in the market. They didn't get a sure thing with any of those signings. I'd have a really tough time being the Jets signing $25 million a quarterback this year between two guys and then going and trading three picks to go move up to number two today. Right. I think it's easier to make that trade a month from now and tell your fans, hey, we didn't just spend every single dollar and pick that we have on three quarterbacks in one day. It makes you look clueless, honestly. I do think teams occasionally think about that. And I just don't think that the Bills will last this long, will last all the way until the draft with just one quarterback on their roster. I think their plans will become even more clear. I think their intentions are clear right now, but I think their actual plan is going to be set by the time we get to the draft.
Sure, absolutely. Let's get into it a little bit. Let's get into some of the free agency as the draft, you know, approaches here. Some needs that are getting filled a little bit are definitely some defensive needs for sure. Bills re-signed Kyle Williams 1 year, $6 million. Wasn't cheap. That starter money for, you know, Kyle said it himself. He's expecting to start. You know, that's a big number for me. 34 years old, you're still expecting pretty big production out of a $6 million cap hit. Not a big hometown discount there. You know, and as well as two big names that the Bills did sign over the past couple of days. And Trent Murphy just recently reported at 3 years, $21 million, with escalators up to $30 million. So we'll see how that cap figure and how that rolls. They also signed star Lotolole, you know, another defensive tackle who was rumored because he was Carolina connections to make that connection with Sean McDermott. A lot of people said, no, I don't know, you can't just make that connection, but that ended up happening. You know, so they fortified two starters and non-starter money to play with Jerry Hughes, who said to be safe, and Shaq Lawson, who said to be safe. They also signed some depth special teamers and Raphael Bush, third safety, not a bad deal. You know, pretty good player for what he can do. Backup, you had nothing there at that position. We've talked about it on a little safety show we had earlier. And Julian Stanford on a 2 year, $3 million deal as a special teamer, played 80% of the special team snaps last year for the Jets. Solid player. Both of those two are solid special teamers for Danny Crossman's unit. So we had a little bit of everything. Definitely shored up some depth issues on the defensive side of the ball. The defensive line looks pretty good. They did what they did last year at the D-back position, and who knows if they're even done. They've been rumored to like Tom Johnson from the Vikings, another older defensive tackle who's pretty solid in run defense. What are your reactions to all that, Jason?
I think that this is free agency, and whatever they do, it's going to seem like an overpay from any starting caliber player. I think if you look at the cap numbers 2 years from now, I think Trent Murphy's and Star Lotolole's will probably look pretty high. I think Star's a decent player. He's going to start. He's going to be, you know, one of the best, you know, 64 D tackles in the league, probably one of the best 40 D tackles in the league. He's a big body that I think is going to be able to fit in the defense pretty well, and well next to Kyle Williams. Those guys got to see him for a while, and they know what he's about. His former teammates have a lot of good things to say about him, so I think he's a good veteran guy. I think that cap number is going to be a little high for him and is going to look like the Charles Clay deal or whatever, where – you know, you have a good player, but you wish you didn't get him during free agency. But I think it's a decent signing. The Trent Murphy one, I'm going to have to maybe let it settle down a little bit. We got a good player when he was healthy, but really only had one pretty good season where he had the 9-sack season. Can get after the pass rusher. I think he did more of it as a 3-4 outside linebacker, but was a really good situational guy against the pass rush. The stuff that makes me wonder a little bit, and that was a good amount of money, 3 for 21 going up to 30, is he's coming off a PED suspension where he served 4 games during his injury last year, and he didn't play a play last year coming off of ACL and LCL tear, I believe. that's a lot of risk to be involved with a guy. But this is free agency. Pass rushers don't come out of nowhere. And I'm hoping that it's not a swing and a miss like, you know, Mark Anderson's that we had gotten before. I know that was a while ago, but it was a guy coming in with a couple questions in one good year. But he's definitely shown the potential to be able to do it. And you have to pay for that guy. But I just – he's not the first guy I would look at and say, this is definitely a McDermott and Bean guy. But we'll see. I mean, obviously they saw something on the field that makes them think that he's special. And if he bounces back and he's suddenly a 12, 13 sack guy, then, yeah, that number looks right. Great.
And he's 27. He was Roto World's sixth best defensive end, NFL Network 75th best overall free agent, was said to be almost pretty much signed to New England. So that's a pretty big news. And as well as Washington did want him back, and he showed a lot. I mean, he's a bully, 6'6". I mean, he presents a tough challenge for smaller offensive tackles. So I think it'll be interesting. I mean, that you have a little bit of everything now. You have Jerry Hughes, a speed pass rusher. And I mean, you have Shaq Lawson, a bigger bull rusher, stronger rusher, good against the run. You have a couple of really good depth defensive ends, Ryan Davis, who did show some flashes last year as a fairly decent fourth defensive end. And I think you have a lot of different, you know, Adolphus Washington goes back to a reserve role now. So I think you have a lot of different talented players that can do what they do and kind of try to model that Philadelphia model of having eight different defensive linemen and then following their model of trading up for a quarterback. So another note, I mean, the Bills did lose, obviously, Cordy Glenn. We've discussed that. They did. You know, Eric Wood's little thing, I don't know what's going on financially with him. Obviously, he's retiring. And they did lose Chantrell Henderson to a one-year, $4 million deal. So they lost three of their 10 offensive linemen from last year. Pretty much, you know, Connor McDermott's now your seventh, and John Miller's your sixth. Are you worried about that position group at all?
The offensive line?
Yeah.
I read it from a tweet. I think Sal gave out a tweet and just listed out the five of them, which is like, I don't always just look at them. And I do worry a little bit. I could see a situation where it's not exactly the greatest.
Even with Vlad and Jordan playing pretty fairly better football than anyone thought.
Yeah. I'm not saying that it's going to be a disaster. I'm saying we could look back and it's November and we could say, how could we not imagine this being a disaster? Those guys aren't consistent every year. Studs there. Ryan Groy really didn't play last year and didn't get to play center last year. Really hasn't gotten time there since 2016.
But it is his best position based on what everyone says.
Because they didn't really give him a sniff at guard. And then Deion Dawkins, we don't know that he's a good player. We have obviously saw the improvements that he made last year, which is encouraging for a tackle. Really started out as a disaster and then rounded into a pretty decent player. Should really only get better knowing the scheme and all that. And then there's Richie Incognito, who's in his mid-30s, who's the guy we consider the most reliable of all of them. So I could see a way that it goes either way. I do think that they'll probably use something before round, you know, somewhere between rounds 2 and 4 on probably an interior guy. I could definitely see that happening. So, you know, look out.
We talked about it. It's a good draft for it. We could check out our interior offensive line.
Certainly. I think center and guard are both positions that are pretty strong here, even going into probably about the third round. I think there's a drop off after that, but yeah, I think this would be a good season to use that. But well, we have to see what kind of picks we even have left over at this point.
And there's still some good starting level guard centers that are still around. I mean, Travis Swanson, Luke Jokel can play the position of, at least up guard. DJ Fluker, you know, John Sullivan, Brandon Fusco, who's rumored to be signing somewhere. You know, Jack Newhart. I mean, there's some names there that I would not mind.
No, but I wouldn't want to spend significant money on a few of those guys like Fluker or whatever. I think we'd end up spending a bunch of money and then figuring out that he's not starting for us. So I don't know about that. I think if we're going to make this unit stronger, I think it's got to come through the draft, considering who's left at this point. And just considering the kind of money that we have left, I wouldn't want to necessarily use that.
Fair enough. I mean, it's an interesting position to keep an eye on. So is tackle, as I believed McDermott went after a tackle last year and ended up losing. I think it was Brian Bulaga, right? Was that last year? We were rumored to like him,
yeah,
and he ended up signing elsewhere immediately. And You know, there's Ricky Wagner, I remember, being a guy as well, rumored pretty heavily. So I wouldn't count out tackle yet in free agency with Cam Fleming, you know, Justin Pugh, Adrian Waddell, you know, Greg Robinson. There's a couple of guys there that can play solid right tackle football.
Yeah, a couple of them. I mean, I think Waddell probably gets paid.
Yeah,
I'm not sure I'm ready to get on Greg Robinson anymore. But, yeah, no, I don't think it's impossible. And I don't think that they're, like, dead set on Jordan Mills. I just think that – I think at the salaries they're at right now, I don't really want to mess with free agency too much anymore, to be honest.
Right.
I think there's places that you can – that you can fortify your team, sort of like the Bush and Stanfield picks, but I don't or Stanford, and but I'm not sure about buying any more starters at this point unless it's a real impact player.
Yeah, sure. So I think that this is where the Bills thrive, though, kind of in this range as some of the bigger names have gone off the board, the Tom Johnsons we've referenced of the world. I think that that's a place where now the Bills kind of spent a little bit of their guy, you know, filled two roles that they felt were really necessary. You know, now, I mean, look at Muhammad Wilkerson, only signed a 1-year, $5 million deal with Green Bay. I mean, that's what you're looking for, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think word got around the league for him in general. I think that there's been some discontent on some of these players and they've been signing lower contracts for that reason, or your standard 1-year prove it deals. So every situation's different, and then you see some of the crazy deals that got made. I'll just say as an aside, like, let's draft receivers. Let's just draft receivers.
Yeah, that's done.
Because this is – signing receivers is now just impossible. And the way that teams have been just throwing out $8 to $10 million a year to
– For Ryan Grant.
Ryan Grant got one. I mean, I don't even remember what Taylor Gabriel's stats were last year. I think he was okay, but, like, I mean, between those guys and just guys that really haven't proved anything beyond being like 500-yard receivers at this point, getting $8 to $10 million is like.
How about Ndamukong Suh? Are you interested in Ndamukong Suh? He has just said to say that he wanted to go to the highest bidder, fit in the team don't matter. How do you feel about that?
That doesn't sound like us at all. It sounds like one of those teams that started with $100 million at the beginning, or like Miami will figure out how to sign him again. I don't know. They seem to clear up $17 million every time that they do anything.
But that's funny. It's a fun position group because the Bills already played in it twice, signing their own guy. I mean, I don't love Adolphus Washington enough to the Bills rotate 50 to 60% of snaps. They still could technically play in this space. You still have the top guy, four guys available in Sue, you know, Sheldon Richardson, Dontari Poe, and Benny Logan. And then we've really the next tier with Wilkerson and Lotuile, Kyle Williams, you know, Nada, Chris Baker.
Those are, I mean, those top guys are some of the guys I liked there, and I was hoping that you could get a guy like Logan at the price that you could get.
Might be able to.
Star, but
as it starts to wind down, who says it? They're out of it. They've said to still be interested in the next tier, which does include Logan's kind of on the fringe, one and two, but then you have like Daquan Jones, Jay Bromley, Tom Johnson, Dominique Easley. Those guys are all heavily considered right in that second tier. So
sure, and I don't love the D tackles in this class in terms of.
Me neither.
Really, even whether it's the high end,
and they
there really isn't much there, and there really isn't anything on day two either. So, yeah, maybe we'll look at it in that way. We didn't. I'm trying to think. We didn't address it last year in the draft?
No.
Question mark? No, we really didn't. We did with Cedric Thornton's. And
took two linebackers, yeah.
Right. So that could be something that we do again. Maybe that's something they value a veteran presence in. That's a position much like middle linebacker where you get guys on the 1-year deals, guys, you know, veteran guys who are kind of, you know, replacement level players getting low deals, all decent players, but guys who can kind of fit in their team and play one specific role. So, yeah, I think that they could be looking. I think that from here on out, I would not expect any big splashes. I think they will be looking for players to round out positions like they did with Bush, Stanford. They could still use infinite amount more linebackers. You know, the only splash that I could see is if they get back in and they re-sign Preston Brown or AJ Gaines. That's really that's the only big splash I could see at this point, is really re-signing our own guys. I don't think either are likely at this point. Preston Brown might be, you know, itching a little bit to get a contract, but he also saw that Hitchens deal, and I don't think he thinks he's that far off from it. We'll see if that pays off. Well, but considering saw Hitchens and you saw Bradham today,
I think it's already starting 40. To slow down. I mean, and look at the Brandon Fusco, one of the guys I just brought up at the guard, just went for 3 for 12. So it's starting to calm down a little bit. That's kind of the range I'd like to play in here as this thing winds down, and some of these position groups. But I do think that Gaines and Preston Brown are a lot more likely than anyone's really talking about this moment. So I do think that keep your eye on that. Keep your eye on other inside linebackers and definitely a nickel cornerback. So.
That's the other thing. Not that they would go for a big splash, but I do think we could be hearing Leonard Johnson sometime soon again.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, definitely. And if not, another name too. So would like to say go check out the rest of the Lockdown shows to hear their perspectives on some of the news, see if there's anything going on. You know, check out Lockdown Colts, check on some of the other additions that, you know, we'll be talking, you know, concurrently with us here at Lockdown Bills. You know, and try to check out some of our sponsors too. That'd be really awesome. Grip 6 belts. Use promo code Lockdown. Check out those belts. Grip 6 belts. A really, really, really good product there. So I would love you guys to, you know, check that out. And for Hims as well, a nice hair product that we, you know, fully promote. And, you know, get checking that out once again for Hims. So from Lockdown Bills, I'm Kevin Misteri. That's the usual Jason Shannon. And we'll be right back at you here shortly with Nate and Jason doing the quarterback vet show. So look out for that. And this is brought to you once again. You know, check out PFF and our other sponsors. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thanks.